You're listening to SBS News.
The United States President Donald Trump has announced a suspension of US funding to the World Health Organization because he says it has covered up the seriousness of the COVID-19 outbreak in China before it spread around the world. The United States, with the world's third largest population, has recorded more fatalities from COVID-19 than any other country and is the UN body's biggest funder. According to Mr. Trump, the WHO prevented transparency over the outbreak, which he claims has had a knock-on effect.
The delays the WHO experience in declaring a public health emergency cost valuable time, tremendous amounts of time. More time was lost in the delay it took to get a team of international experts in to examine the outbreak, which we wanted to do, which they should have done. The inability of the WHO to obtain virus samples to this date has deprived the scientific community of essential data.
The announcement by Mr. Trump comes as Democratic and Republican governors in the US sounded alarm over comments made by the president that he had the ultimate say on when and how to reopen the economy after weeks of tough social distancing guidelines. Mr. Trump said on Monday he believed he had total authority over individual states when it comes to the US coronavirus response, a stance that is not supported by the Constitution and was immediately rejected by legal experts and some governors, including Republicans. William Howell, the chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Chicago, says the claims contradict Mr. Trump's approach to taking responsibility for the response to the public health crisis.
You see this contrast between, on the one hand, claiming absolute and unfettered authority, and on the other hand, saying it's not all my fault, it's other people's fault. It also stands in marked contrast to our system of separated powers, wherein power is always contested. Power is always partially held, not just by the president, but by everybody. Nobody has complete say over the doings of government.
The chief economist of the International Monetary Fund says nations need to be prepared to work together as the global economy tries to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. Debt is expected to increase, and there are calls for creditors to offer relief to poorer countries. There are predictions the COVID-19 pandemic could trigger the worst recession since the Great Depression and more serious than the global financial crisis. IMF chief economist Gita Gopinath says it expects negative per capita income growth this year in 170 countries and is calling for a rapid response.
Domestic and international policy responses need to be large, rapidly deployed, and speedily recalibrated as new data becomes available. The courageous actions of doctors and nurses around the world need to be matched by policymakers so we can jointly overcome the crises.
In the United Kingdom, charities have expressed concerns that outbreaks of the coronavirus within care homes are not being added to the official statistics. Caroline Abrahams, director of Charity Age UK, told the Associated Press the government's daily updates are airbrushing older people out as if they didn't matter. Yvonne Doyle, Public Health England medical director, says health authorities were working very actively to ensure the impact on the social care sector was mitigated.
We have a number of outbreaks in care homes, and there is very active input there to ensure that the damage and the harm to people is mitigated. So we work very actively with the care home sector, but it is a very dispersed sector.
Spain has allowed a partial return to work while Iceland plans to ease lockdown restrictions from early May. In Austria, shoppers have returned to stores under strict conditions, making it one of the first countries to ease coronavirus rules. Austria closed almost all stores except supermarkets in mid-March, and restaurants are due to restart in mid-May if the pandemic stabilises. Shop owner Marie Frolesch says the reopening of stores is a step closer towards normality, but it's a day-by-day process.
Because we are located in the city centre of Vienna, we depend very much on tourism, and I think it might start again by October, November, December. Until then, we are in crisis mode. This is probably going to last a while longer.
The European Commission President says ventilators are the most urgently needed equipment in countries severely hit by the pandemic. Doctors from Romania and Norway have been deployed to Italy, where the COVID-19 death toll has risen to more than 21,000 people. In France, more than 15,000 fatalities have been registered, with a slight rise in deaths on Tuesday, but less patients in intensive care. President Ursula von der Leyen says Europe will be stronger when acting together during the crisis to help countries like Italy and Spain.
Our European solidarity can save lives. What hospitals in these countries need most are respiratory ventilators. I'm grateful to Denmark, which will send ventilators and a mobile field hospital to Italy.
Migrant workers without jobs have protested against the Indian government's move to extend a lockdown to deal with the coronavirus outbreak. Police with batons have charged at workers who want to return to their home villages, but the lockdown is set to last until May the 3rd. India still has more than 10,000 positive cases of COVID-19. Protester Shabana is worried about her future.
We have nothing to do now. We have small kids and they are not getting anything to eat. What should we do?
And the Tour de France, the world's most famous bike race, will be postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic. The new dates for the event are now August 29 to September 20. And you can keep up to date with the latest on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.